This is Jenny Severn, and this is how I create a life filled with joy.
Welcome to This Is How We Create, a show that digs deeper into the creative life of contemporary artists of color. Discover what feeds their creativity and how they found or are finding their artistic voice. Through these intimate and candid conversations, you'll gain insights into the lives of creative professionals of color that are hard to find anywhere else. I'm Martine Severn. Welcome back to This Is How We Create. Today, we're changing things up a bit. I've invited my best friend, my pick, aka partner in crime, Jenny Severn, to the podcast. Jenny and I will chat about the art of travel and, of course, the art of escape, as we all need that right now during the pandemic. Jenny has been traveling since the age of 8 and has been all over the world to date. And I don't even know how many countries, but surely it's over 40 right now. She's traveled with friends, family, and mostly by herself. I thought it would be cool to hear about her favorite places to go and about the unexpected corners of the world we can consider when we are no longer in the clutches of a pandemic. Welcome to the podcast, Jenny.
Hi, Tini.
Is this kind of weird?
It is kind of weird. It's like I'm listening to my own voice.
Yes. You think people are going to get confused as to which one of us is talking?
I don't know. Sometimes I hear that we sound similar, and then other times I'm like, no, we're totally very different. People think we sound alike, so we'll see.
Well, I think, folks, please drop us a line if you get confused along the way as to which person is talking. Because sometimes I talk with Jenny, I'm talking with her on the phone, or she leaves a message, and I think she sounds exactly like me. Do you find the same thing?
I do. I'm like, oh, this is how I sound. Like, ugh. But, you know, in a good way.
Jenny, you've always loved to travel, and I'll tell you a story of a time where I felt so jealous and jelly of you. I think I must have been 17 or 18, and you and our cousin Sergeline ended up going to Paris.
Yeah.
And
that
you
was
were
my first international trip.
I don't even remember how that came about. Can you tell me the story?
Sergeline was going to Paris, and then she was talking about it. I know that our Auntie Chantal, Tati Chantal, she scraped the money together and said, you know what, I'm going to give this to you as a gift. She bought me a ticket to go to Paris with Serge Lane.
Wow. Is that how or when it started for you?
No, I can't say it was, because that was a miserable trip.
It was? Why was it?
Oh, yeah. Paris was cold and dreary because it was the winter. And then Sergeline got pickpocketed and her passport was stolen. And I got sick. And we were in, I don't even know where we were. It was way outside of the city. And it took time to get into the city. And you know how Parisians are, can't, or how they can be. And so it wasn't a great first trip, but it dropped some seeds in there. I can't say that the seeds of travel were fully growing, but.
Can you tell us a little bit more about what those seeds were?
New people, new architecture, that there is a whole lot more outside of Cambridge, Massachusetts. So those were the seeds that were planted. You read a lot and you get to see a lot. And during that point, you know, I loved reading romance novels and I got to travel through those novels. I got to actually travel myself. And so I was like, so this is what it's like. So the seeds started, you know, burrowing into the ground. It was still winter and it needed spring and sun and water for the seeds to start sprouting. I've been doing a lot of gardening during pandemic. So if I talk in a lot of gardening terms that I don't fully know, don't mind me.
Well, I feel that the terms which you're using are so appropriate because right now, not that we are in a winter of discontent, but we certainly are in the winter of this pandemic. And even though we are just coming from summer, I feel that the uncertainty that the pandemic has brought has really, it feels like a winter. And certainly we've all been grounded. Very few people are traveling right now.
I thought it would be fun to invite you to talk about escape and as to where we can go, whether it is in our imaginations, but more specifically in terms of travel, because you're the woman who knows it all.
It's really funny that you say this, because before you set this invite and we started talking about this, you know what I was doing? I was Google imaging some of my favorite places. I was like, oh, I love this place for udon in Tokyo. And so I like Googled imaging. I was going down the street on Google. And yeah, that's how I've been kind of feeding my travel needs, is just by kind of Google imaging things and going down the streets. I'm like, oh, I remember that. Oh, that was nice.
Well, most people might travel internationally once a year or once every 10 years. How often do you travel internationally or even nationally in the US?
Tend to hit 3 to 4 countries a year. And then in the US, oh, a decent amount. A decent amount in the US, because you're in Chicago, there are people in New York, had an office in Philadelphia. And then, you know, during my international travels, I'd be able to stop in Miami. I like flying and I like travel. And I have a rule, if it's under $400 a ticket, I buy it, I go. So,
well, yeah. as you were chatting, I was thinking, how is she affording this? Who travels that often every quarter, an international trip? So can you give us a tip? What's your tip for how you find these like very great deals?
Oh, definitely. I am not sponsored by them, but hey, Scott's Cheap Flights, if you want to sponsor me, holler. But I subscribe to this. It's a newsletter. It's kind of like a daily, I don't know the exact terminology, but it just kind of comes in my mailbox and it says from LAX to Tokyo, round trip, $400. And it gives you the dates that this is valid for. And it tells you like, oh, it excludes Christmas or excludes this or what have you. So it really lays out all the information for you. It even sends you to either be Skyscanner, which you can find great tickets. It lays it all out for you. So it's pretty easy. Whenever they send it to me, I look, and if it sounds like an interesting country, I'll go ahead and book it. I'm not tied down to, oh, I really want to go to Greece this time, or I really want to go to Turkey. It really comes down to, I know I'm going to hit all these countries, so if a cheap ticket comes along, I'm just going to kind of buy it. And often, like I mentioned earlier, I put a cap down for myself. I say $400, go ahead and buy that ticket. Trips that I really plan, like recently I was going on safari, it was a little bit more because it's more to get to Africa from LAX. If I'm going to go to the continent, I call Africa the continent, I don't know why. If I'm going to go to the continent, $700 is my max. So I found a ticket for $700 for that. And then I plan my safari and my itinerary around that. It's always, don't get locked into, oh, I have to go to this country at this specific time. Sometimes I book a trip out 9-10 months and people are like, oh, do you know how do you know what you're going to be doing then? And I say, I know I'm going to be traveling then because I booked the ticket and those are my plans. It all comes down to be open, be flexible. It's possible. And while you're doing these trips, make sure you collect all your miles and all your points. They come in handy.
Back in the day too, I used to crash your trips. You remember how one day I think this was when I was in grad school, you were saying, hey, let's go to Guatemala. And I said, no, I can't. I have to pay my student loans, blah, 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 blah. 2 weeks later, I texted you. I was like, I want to go with you. And I crashed that trip. And it was so amazing. And that's one of our favorite trips to date.
Yeah.
It sounds like you don't choose where you're going to go. However, what Scott's Cheap Flights allows you to do is to see the cheap flights that are coming down the pike. And if it's a place you really want to go, then you will purchase the ticket however so many months or weeks in advance. And then you'll just make it happen. That's amazing.
Exactly. Exactly. And it is. I've been on a trip and I booked another trip. A cheap flight has come in from Scott's. I was like, oh, wait, I'm on a trip right now. I'm going to book another trip. I'm just always on the ready. And what I like, another way I like to do my travel is I will purchase a cheap ticket, but then I will use my points and my miles to upgrade myself to either premium economy, or I will get an exit row. My trick is exit row. I will buy a cheap ticket. I got a $400 round trip to Tokyo, and then I paid for exit row, which was about $50. It was, for whatever reason, it was really cheap. So all in all, under $500, and I was quite comfortable. I'm 5'9", quite comfortable in an exit row. So that's another way to do it. You can buy a cheap ticket, but then, you know, choose your seat accordingly.
So in the podcast, we talk a lot about the journey in terms of what people have learned about themselves through their art and through doing their work in the art realm. And certainly, I think there may be a stretch, but I think travel is an art. We've seen an advent of Black professionals traveling, whereas maybe they hadn't been before, but in any case, we're seeing a huge number of Black professionals traveling. Are there any places that are on your undiscovered list? Because I think a lot of people normally would go to Europe, right? Everyone wants to go to Europe. What are some places for you that are on your list that you've loved going to, or that you go to over and over again?
I actually am not one for over and over again, except for a couple of cities. Like, I love Tokyo. I love Japan. I love Mexico City. So vibrant. Mexico in general. So, so vibrant. I really, really, I adore it. I always say Istanbul is the new Paris. And that's another thing. People are like, oh, I'm going to go European countries, but there's so many vibrant places. Sometimes walking a little bit off the beaten path is easy. I also like to say that I am mobile now, and I'd rather go to the hard countries and save the easier countries, you know, the European well-developed countries for when I'm a little bit older. So that's also, you can look at it any way, but that's the way I look at it. I'd rather do the really hard, arduous things. Like, go for a 5-hour hike in around Machu Picchu now, rather than when I'm 65, 70.
How very clever. Was this something I told you? That you...
No.
or did I get it from that, you?
I think maybe you got that one from me. But the one thing that I, you know, as I was thinking about this and reflecting on what we're going to be discussing, I remember, I've tried to pinpoint when this love, this burning passion to explore, when it really, really cemented, when it really, really took root. And it was when I was living in London, you said something to me. It stuck with me. And it's just like, you are who you've always been, but now you're free to express it. And that's what travel affords me, is you get to go and be the you that you are without expectation. You get to explore the world without the burden of what people think of you. You can be whomever you want to be when you travel. You can, I have raved in Tokyo, and I'm not, when I'm here at home, I am quiet. I don't stay up late, but I have missed the last train because I've met new people and we're out dancing. I found some random Germans in Barcelona and we end up at a club, and I'm like, hours before my flight, I run back to my hotel room to grab things. Like, you do things that you never thought that you would normally do. And you saying to me, you know, you are who you've always been. You are becoming who you've always been. Really, really stuck with me. And that's why I love travel so much.
I agree with you. I found the same thing when I lived in France, as well as when I lived in London. The thing is that people don't know who you are. Mm-hmm. When you meet new people, they don't know you, who you are. They don't know you're the one in the family who's like this or like that, or the one who's at your university who's this or that. They just see you and they accept you for the person that you present. And there's something really freeing in that.
So freeing.
Yeah, a bit of an escape as well.
when you said that travel is a form of art. The way I look at art is people experience it. The artists create it to be experienced, but the way that someone is experiencing it is also different. And so when I travel, it's not just about my experience, how I'm experiencing the place, but how I am being experienced. So I have been, you know, in rural Vietnam where they've never seen a Black person before. And they get to ask me questions and chat with me. Same thing, Oman, that was absolutely beautiful, where a single Black woman is traveling by herself in a very Muslim country. The men were kind, and the women, they were so curious. Yes, there was the language barrier, but they got to experience me and they got to see something different, just like I was experiencing something. Another story, I remember being in Indonesia. I went to an all-girls school. Like, I was just riding my bike and I ended up like near an all-girls school. They were so curious. These young ladies, they were so curious and so much in awe that a woman was traveling, and she was traveling by herself, and she was doing these things. So that's one of the other things I love about traveling, is it's not just what I'm experiencing, but how people are experiencing me. I think it's a form of art.
Jenny, can you tell me a little bit about deciding to travel alone? So many people get hung up on the fact that they're going to be by themselves, especially as a woman. How did you come about that decision, or was it even a decision that you made?
It wasn't a decision. I think I've always been a fairly independent person. I remember booking a trip, wanting to go somewhere, and then the person canceled on me. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go. I'm not going to let my trip and let some of the things that bring me joy be dictated by others. And so I just was like, I'm going to go. And, you know, you mentioned piggybacking on one of my trips. And that's what I do. I tell people, this is where I'm going. If you'd like to come, these are the dates that I'm going. But whether you come, whether you don't, I'm going. So yeah, I personally love traveling alone because I get to talk to more people and I get to explore cities and towns differently than I would with someone else, because I would say 98% of the time end up speaking with locals and making connections with them and having an adventure that I never would have if I just stuck to, you know, the guidebooks or stuck to the person that I'm traveling with. So I love traveling alone.
Can you tell me some tips you have for traveling alone? Because I'm assuming that there are some people who are going to be listening to this conversation and they're going to think, I would never, as a woman, travel to the fill in the blank by myself. And you've done that. You've gone to you've been to Istanbul on your own. Mm-hmm. You've been to a lot of places, not just Istanbul, but a lot of places that might be considered dangerous hell. Chicago's considered to be dangerous. Yeah. And by the way, I remember being in Europe and being in Paris visiting one time where I explained that I wasn't from the US, and they're like, oh, the US is so dangerous. How could you live mm-hmm. there? Which it is, if you think about it, compared to violence in other places in the world. Any tips that you have for folks who are thinking about traveling on their own when the pandemic is over and they just want to be prepared?
Trust your spidey senses. You know, listen to your gut. You will know where to avoid and what to avoid. As far as lodging goes, I try to get lodging in a very central location. You know, it's well lit and it's easy for me to get back to my place at night. I'm smart. I'm not saying I'm smart. Yes, I am smart. But smart in the sense that even if it's in Spain where dinner starts at 9, 10 o'clock, I am not going to, I have my taxi ready to bring me back to wherever I'm staying. If I'm staying out late, I'm not going to be walking by myself. Find groups. There are a lot of groups. Like, I love Girls Gone International. this is a network of women who travel alone. There's always somebody, like, join the Facebook group or the IG group. There's always someone that you can reach out to. So I just do a little bit of prelim work wherever I'm going so that I have some safety nets into place. And also when I travel, I share my itinerary. I put everything on TripIt and then I share that TripIt with someone so they know what hotels I have. I often put my dinner reservations in there. So someone always knows where I'm at. Be aware of your surroundings when you're traveling alone, but it is phenomenal. People are so friendly. As long as you are friendly and you are a happy person, joyful, you're a joyful person while you are out because you are having this wonderful experience. Those around you pick up on that and they want to be part of it and they want to contribute to the experience you're having. I've had people take me out on tours. I have had people I'll meet them for dinner later with a group of their friends. So when people see that you're enjoying yourself, they are more apt to be friendly and help you as opposed to, I'm scared and they're just going to stay away from you.
On the safety side, I remember that even now, whenever you go somewhere, when you're taking off to go to either Tokyo or Brazil or your latest was Botswana, you always send a text message to say when you're taking off, when you've landed, and when you're going from one leg to another. And I always appreciate that. So I'd love to hear what is next on your list. Because I know you've got a list, or at least, okay, so I know that you are able to be flexible and book whatever that Scott's Chief Flights might send you, but do you have kind of a running list in terms of the places that you really want to go to in the future?
It's really funny. Lebanon, Beirut has been on the brain for about a year and a half year. I definitely have Petra on the brain too. So in doing Petra, I would do Israel at the same time.
I want to come with you. Just saying.
please do. I spent such a wonderful time in South Africa back in March. It was phenomenal. And I got to meet so many great people. And we got to talking about West Africa because, you know, we were in Southern Africa, but we were talking about West Africa and the times that they spent there. And I'm like, yeah, I really, and we're talking about what country to go to. Should it be Ghana? Should it be Senegal? India, I had to cancel my trip, a very well-planned trip, I might add, to India. I would like to rebook that one. I want a return trip to South Korea. I had an experience there. I think that was one of those life-altering experiences.
Can you tell me more about that?
Oh, sure. So I did a temple stay in Korea. So a couple of hours outside of Seoul, in a forest at a Buddhist monastery. There was only one English speaking monk and he barely spoke English at that. And I was one of their first foreign visitors, their first American and their first Black visitor. And it was just really, it was silent. There was no technology. It was just very regimented. It was, you know, you wake up for morning prayer around 3:30, you do your salutations, they grow all their food, you meditate, you do your prostrations, there's prayer. It was just so quiet and you got to really learn so much about yourself because there were no distractions. But the one thing that I really took away was the Buddhist saying of what is. There's no what was, there's no what's to be. What is, live in the moment, pay attention to the here and now. Just be calm. Happiness is work and you have to put in the work. It starts with being calm and letting go of the clutter. I know I can't recreate the experience, but I would love, you know, just a little bit of reset by going to another Buddhist monastery. I know I can find it in India and I can find it in Japan. lots of other countries, but I also love Korean food. So that's why I want to go to Korea, to just eat. Same thing. Another reason why I love going to Tokyo is just so I could eat.
So this is such an interesting, because normally when you and I are talking, we talk all over each other and interrupt each other, but I can't. This is in the podcast. But one of the things, so I love what you just said. Can you give me some visuals? As you were talking, I couldn't help but want and crave smells and sight. Can you tell me what it looked like when you arrived at this monastery? What did you smell when you woke up at 3 o'clock to go to prayers? What were you lying on? I'd love some visuals, because whenever you go on your trips, that's why I ask you for pictures, because it's like I need pictures to, and then I have a movie going on in my brain as to what the experience is like.
So going up to the monastery, it is, because it's in a forest, and so you're going up this, it's a small road. You're going up a small road and there are trees everywhere. And I do remember it smells like fir, and you can see, I can still see the sun streaming in through the trees. So it's all canopied. There's the main temple, and then there are sleeping lodges, and you sleep on the floor. They're heated floors, but you have a mat on the floor. There's barely anything else in the room. I think there was a small little table in the room, and it was cold then in Korea. I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? This is so cold. It gets so cold at night.
Have blankets.
Yeah, it's like, you have a blanket. You have one blanket, you have your mat, but it's okay. The floors are heated. Just as long as you stay close to the floor, you're good. The hard part was the baths, right? So the baths are outside. And it's a bucket, and it's a bucket with a ladle for you to take a bath, and it's cold, and they're communal, you know, bath places. Yeah, so very cold, but you get up, and there was a lot of walking meditation. It's listening to the noises around you. So it's the trees swaying, it's the birds, there was water, there were people who were gardening. As I mentioned, they grow all their food. There was arts and crafts, of course, you know, I got to sit down with a monk and make their lanterns. They were really funny. There were lots of non-communication cues, because, you know, as I said, they don't speak English, but I'm bald, I have no hair, and they are monks and they're bald and they have no hair. They would touch their hair, then point at me, and then they'd laugh, and we'd just laugh together. It really was a beautiful experience.
I can imagine how shocking that must have been for them, or surprising, I should say, to have this tall black woman with but no hair show up.
Really were. And they're like, is it okay if we take pictures and put you on our website?
Oh, no way.
Yeah. I was like, sure, go ahead. You can take pictures. So there's the prostrations, which is like 99 bows and all the way down, and your hips and your knees, and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they do this twice a day. But you know, they take pictures of me doing my prostrations or me meditating, but they were just so lovely and so nice. So everybody eats together, right? It's all communal. You're not supposed to leave even one grain of rice on your plate. So you take less than you need, and then you go back for seconds. So it was just really lovely to see everybody eating together and appreciating what they had, and not, there was no waste, and it was light and jovial. And I'm visualizing myself. I'm not necessarily painting a picture for you. It was lovely. It's absolutely lovely. Lovely, lovely experience.
I remember after that trip, I think you came to see us in London. Mm. I remember seeing the change in you.
Yeah. Everybody's like, why are you so calm? There's no reaction. I'm like, I don't need to be reactive.
That must have been interesting.
You were the same way. You're like, I remember you saying, like, you were having no reactions to this. I do have a reaction. I just don't need to be vocal. I can be calm about it.
You taught me walking meditations completely saved me when we moved from London to Chicago. And, you know, a move is disruptive and it can be difficult. And I remember how that helped. Yeah, I think that was one of our best trips. I mean, when you visited in London, that was just, it was amazing because there was, I noticed the difference in you. You were so calm. It was like watching a river that's still, or a lake, I should say, that's completely still.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I want to go back. The farther away you are from an experience, the more you forget it, that I can't replicate it, but I do want to go back and reset so I can continue to stay in that mind, that calm mindset. Because when you live in a big city like this and you get wrapped up in work and you get wrapped up in the everyday, you forget the things that you've learned. And I'd love to go back and just kind of calm down again.
I wonder, Jenny, does going back even in your mind to South Korea, to that experience, does it help to calm you during these times? Because these are very difficult times for a lot of us, I should say.
It really does help a lot to visualize. It does help a lot. I am very thankful for Google Street View because you get to visit places and you get to remember the places that you really enjoyed and go back and experience them. But you know, when we're going back to traveling, I have to be very smart about my tourism dollars because I've always gone to places that are off the beaten path and that are small, and that they're family owned. Whether I go back or I go to somewhere new, to make sure that I am supporting these people in their livelihoods. And that's what I'm looking forward to, is going, discovering new places and also patroning places that I've been and giving them my tourism dollars.
As you speak about that, Jenny, I can imagine you and your TV show. Remember how we wanted to have a travel TV show?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that we would go places and have fun.
I know.
Maybe we can still do that.
Maybe we can. And it's really funny because I travel differently than what you see in the mainstream. One, it is a different experience being a single Black woman traveling, especially a bald Black woman traveling. But I also don't do the normal things that people do on their travels. I want a TV show or something like that. I'm putting it out there in the universe because I think I have a perspective that not many people have. They would welcome it, and maybe it's something they want to do when they travel. They want to travel the way I travel, but didn't think it's possible. So universe, hear me now.
Well, Jenny, thank you so much for coming on hanging out. I love this. You've given me so many different things to walk away with. In some ways, I think from what you've chatted about, travel is important not only so that we could see new places, eat new foods, and see different parts of the world, but we also need it so that we could look at ourselves in different ways.
Yes.
Do you think in some ways that travel allows us to hold that mirror up to ourselves in ways that we aren't able to when we are at home?
Oh, I definitely think that. And that is one of the reasons why I travel so much, is when I feel myself slipping back into the, I am working 14 hours a day, I'm forgetting who I am, I take a trip, I reset. I've actually had a boss say to me, "You're getting a little moody. Do you need to take a trip?" That's how important travel is to me. And that's how important it helps me reset and remind myself of who I am, where I find joy, is to be able to go away and experience the beauty that there is.
That is the perfect place to stop. Can you share with us how we can best keep in touch with you and see some of your photos and anything that you have to share travel-wise?
let's just say stay tuned, and I will share. I am working on a new project because I have time during this pandemic, a new project to kind of put all my travel pictures and thought experiences that I've had in one place where people can enjoy the things that I've enjoyed. I'm thinking of a YouTube channel, so stay tuned.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. And you know who's your biggest fan?
And I'm so lucky for it.
Let's not get too corny for the people now. You and I, man.
Yeah,
Annie, I love you, girl.
Aw, ditto, sister.
All right. Ditto. Well, thanks for joining me on this little podcast.
And thank you for having me.
And everyone listening, I'd love for you to share with us, send me an email to martine@martinesevren.com or hit me up on IG at martine.severin and share with us what you have learned from Jenny's awesome episode or your favorite places that you've traveled to and the places you'd love to revisit when we are out of this pandemic. That's it for now. Jenny, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.